All right. Wow, wow, wow. The 2024 election autopsy contracted by the DNC has finally been released after months and months, maybe even over a year of tumult, over a year of the Democratic National Committee refusing to release the after-action report that tells us what went wrong and what to do next, in their eyes, at least. And the reality is, they were right about one thing. It is a sloppy, unfinished mess. This entire thing is full of red lines saying no evidence provided for many claims, saying this contradicts claims elsewhere in the report. It's full of red lines saying no evidence provided for this claim, just trying to completely fact check everything throughout it because there are a lot of unsupported claims. Now, of course, not every single thing in this is absolutely wrong. I mean, there's a part about the male voter problem, but I can give you a better analysis as a young male voter who talks to male voters than whatever this sloppy report is. So understandably, people are incredibly pissed. Jon Favreau of Pod Save America gives his rundown of the series of events. And this isn't like a partisan attack coming from the right. This is an Obama strategist who now does commentary and does strategy for the party. And we're all just trying to do this in the name of making the Democratic Party stronger because we want to win. I'm oftentimes focusing on Republicans and how we can beat them, but at this moment, I think it's appropriate to talk about the Democratic Party, a forward-looking vision, what we should stand for, what we should stand for in my eyes, and overall some media strategy. I'm not as qualified to talk about the door-knocking, on-the-ground canvassing strategy, but I do know a lot about social media and making sure that we're pushing a message. So make sure you drop a like, make sure you subscribe. Let's dig into all this. And then we'll put it side by side with what Donald Trump said when he was just asked about the autopsy a moment ago.
Why you won and Democrats lost. One thing that it mentions is how they failed to reach middle America, Southern Americans. Do you think they've learned lessons from that election?
Okay, before we hear from Donald Trump and the right-wing attacks, let's just talk amongst our party for a second and see what we can actually work on, what we can actually fix. So Jon Favreau says, one, promise to release the autopsy. Listen, I have respect for Ken Martin, but Ken Martin did say he was going to release the autopsy no matter what after we lost. And then he held it for so long. Now we know it's because it was just shit. It was dog shit. It doesn't even mention most of the important issues. It doesn't mention inflation. It barely mentions the economy. It does not mention Gaza. It does not mention Palestine even once. Not that that's the biggest reason we lost. I don't think that's the biggest reason we lost, but you'd think they would at least mention Gaza and Israel and the West Bank. But no, no mention of it. So step one, promise to release the autopsy. Step two, put incompetent friend in charge. Apparently the guy they contracted was just a friend of, you know, the DNC, Ken Martin. They completely blew it. The guy made a sloppy report. Number three, incompetent friend produces incoherent product. Step four, announce you're not releasing the autopsy. Step five, lie about why you're not releasing the autopsy. Step six, gaslight the people who ask, saying that they're the problem, that we just need to move on and focus on what we need to do next, which, you know, the report's supposed to sort of outline. Number seven, face internal revolt at the DNC. Step eight, release autopsy. And here we are. Here we are. We're at the point where, as Hunter says, in addition to many factual errors, the DNC report does not discuss inflation, which it probably should. I mean, it's probably part of the reason people felt dissatisfied. It does not mention Palestine or Gaza, as it says down here. It does not mention perceptions of Biden's age. It doesn't mention immigration. I went to about 50 different Trump rallies during the 2024 election and during the primaries. If you've been watching my channel for a while, you know that I've been to many, many Trump rallies. And when I would talk to voters there, some who were on the fence, some who didn't know who they were going to vote for, they were just listening. What they would say is the economy is really hard for them. They would say that they want to close the border and they think it's open. And then the more radical social people who were actually fully bought in would then start citing trans issues and replacements. So there was a mix of people who were genuinely just radicalized and genuinely deep into this racist worldview. But then many people were also just struggling due to the economy. So it's multifaceted. I don't want to reduce it down to any one thing. We lost for a few reasons. How Biden dropping out impacted Harris wasn't even talked about. I mean, that's a big thing. Biden dropping out after they claimed that there was nothing, there was no reason for him to drop out, broke trust within the Democratic Party. Elderly voters and how they voted. Trans people, it doesn't talk about in any capacity. Palestine, it doesn't talk about in any capacity. I mean, just none of these issues are talked about in any meaningful way, or how we mount a defense for certain social groups. The reality is, as it pertains to trans people, as the circle of acceptance has gotten bigger and bigger in liberal societies, conservatives have had to start attacking new and new groups. I mean, just think about it. For a while, when slavery was still allowed, conservatives would defend it. And then we banned it, and they jumped on to attacking different groups. Eventually, gay people they started to attack. And then when society kind of moved on, they're now jumping to the next ring in the circle of acceptance, and they're attacking trans people. So conservatives constantly move on to the next attack, and they're kind of conceding that the last generation of conservatives were wrong. The last generation of conservatives were wrong to attack this group and this group and this group, and now trans people are the newest attack. So we need to mount a serious defense. We need to be talking about how we can hold the line and stand firm in our values. Something that we also need to be talking about is how to build an affirmative vision as Democrats. The report kind of goes into this. Let me pull this up. The report kind of goes into building an affirmative message, but it's just not satisfying or coherent in the way the report talks about it. I mean, over here at Mockler Media, Micah and I have been working on a much more fleshed out framework for how we can restore our democracy that we're going to be releasing soon beyond all of this gobbledygook. But there is something to be said about the fact that over the past decade, Democrats have been unified by our opposition to anything Trump does on any given day, and that we need to build our own affirmative core vision that is intuitive and broad. It's about healthcare. It's about wealth not being hogged by the top 1%. And it's overall about rewiring the broken system that has caused so much pain among Americans. I mean, decade after decade after decade, it doesn't even matter who's been the president, healthcare has been incredibly expensive. And Democrats are way better on this issue. Democrats have fought for it and fought for it. Obama passed the Affordable Care Act. Some states are capping insulin, but there are still these special interests, these powers that be, these large money pharmaceutical lobbies that want to keep healthcare as expensive as possible. So we need a fundamental rewiring of the system, and we need Democrats who can talk about this fundamental rewiring in an intuitive way. We need Democrats who can explain these special interest groups, who reject AIPAC money, reject money from these insidious forces who want to hijack and distort American politics, and we can restore our maps by banning gerrymandering, setting limits on corporations donating to campaigns. There are so many different ways that we can actually fix this, or at least, you know, begin to fix this, begin to rewire the system. And this report doesn't go into any of that. This report is so incredibly weak. Let's hear what CNN reports about it. It says, CNN is publishing a copy of a report into why Democrats lost the 2024 presidential election. The version of the report, better known as a 2024 autopsy, was written by Democratic strategist Paul Rivera. Let me just tell you guys, reading this report and reading the context surrounding it doesn't instill a lot of faith in Democratic leadership for me. I think, not to be like arrogant or whatever, I think the explanation that I gave over the past 3 minutes is closer on the money than anything written in this 200-page report. I think the diagnosis of money poisoning American politics by distorting the incentives of politicians so they're beholden to the special interest groups over the people, it is so perfect. And we just saw it in Kentucky, in the 4th District. Thomas Massie voted alongside his constituents. He voted to release the Epstein files, which most Americans agree with. He voted to not start any new wars, which most Americans agree with. But because he got out-fundraised $35 million to like $3 million, he lost. Money hijacked the race. We need to be talking about this. John Ossoff gets this. Pete Buttigieg gets this. A lot of people get this, but this report completely misses the money. They talk a lot about Mark Robinson, who was caught making Nazi comments on a porn forum in North Carolina. They talk literally most of it about Robinson. You can't even pull a lot of information from that one race. It's absolutely absurd. To continue, statement from Ken Martin. He says, when I was elected DNC chair, I commissioned an after-action review of the 2024 election, and I wanted to be honest and transparent and with actionable and specific takeaways for the future of the Democratic Party. When I received the report last year, it wasn't ready for prime time, not even close. He's right about that. He's right about that. And because no source material was provided, it would have meant starting over. I cannot in good faith put the DNC's stamp of approval on the report that was produced. After last November's massive Democratic wins, I didn't want to create a distraction, but by not putting the report out, I ended up creating an even bigger distraction. For that, I sincerely apologize. For full transparency, I'm releasing the report as we received it in its entirety, unedited and unabridged. It does not meet my standards, and it won't meet your standards, but I'm doing this because people need to be able to trust the Democratic Party and trust our word. Well, the trust factor is a little bit low right now, but I can be charitable and say that he probably did receive a report that was absolutely dog shit. But part of that is on your leadership. When you're commissioning a report, no matter how much you're paying somebody, when you're contracting somebody to do work for you, it's on you to set expectations. This is something that I had to learn the hard way as a young dude who's building a business around me. I would contract people, set loose expectations, get a service that was suboptimal and not up to my standards, and then I would realize, wait a minute, I didn't even communicate properly about what I wanted. It seems like that happened here, and it doesn't instill a lot of faith in our current leadership. But I know, at least I've learned these lessons, so I'll continue to build Mockler Media in the manner that helps. Let's hear what Donald Trump says about this after-action report.
We'd be happy to do it. We want to open it up to Cuban Americans where they can go back and help.
The DNC released a report this morning, their report on the last election, on why you won and Democrats lost. One thing that it mentions is how they failed to reach Middle America, Southern Americans. Do you think they've learned lessons from that election, and have you seen that report?
I think the elections are so rigged, and we have to do something about it, and we're going to do something about it, but we cannot continue to have, and frankly, the Senate and the House, they ought to get together and they ought to pass the Save America Act so that you have a voter ID, and it's so important you have proof of citizenship, little thing like proof of citizenship, and also mail-in voting, which is so crooked. So in Maryland, as you probably saw, they had 500,000 mail-in votes that were corrupt. They were corrupt. They said the printer made a mistake. Don't believe that. And they got caught with 500,000 mail-in ballots that were corrupt. We got to stop it.
Dude, this is absolute deranged, schizophrenic BS. This is absurd. The president of the United States is standing there in front of someone's belly button, constantly ranting and raving about election fraud that doesn't exist. Do you know how damaging this is to our institutions, to the trust in our institutions? I mean, damn. This is why so many voters are apathetic. They look to one side and they see a party that, you know, I think the Democratic Party is rather right on most issues. I think we are very, very much so pushing towards human dignity and holding the line on social issues. But they look to a Democratic Party that's oftentimes weak and untrustworthy. I'll say it. And they look over to the Republican side, and it's even more weak and untrustworthy. I'm sorry for keeping this image on screen for so long. But why is Donald Trump so incredibly addicted to lying about election fraud?
We have a country that has a very corrupt... We have more corrupt elections than third world countries have. And we ought to get smart. Pass the Save America Act. That'll be a long way. You have voter ID, voter identification. The Democrats don't want to pass. Now, I'll tell you what, the Democrat voters do want to pass, 87%. But the Democrat politicians don't want to pass. And the reason is they'd never be elected again because with their power.
This is deranged BS. He's just spreading conspiracy theories, straight up conspiracy theories coming from the president of the United States. So then it makes you realize the alternative is better. The Democratic Party is obviously, clearly much better. But it's been brutal for us. It's been brutal for anybody who is a Democrat. Just check this out. Check out this brutal part of the after-action report / the autopsy. It shows the change from 2009 to 2020-25 in Democratic power. And as someone in the comments points out, this becomes particularly brutal when you consider that there was a lot of discourse after Obama won about how the Democratic Party was going to have, you know, for the next two decades, a majority. We were going to dominate. Everything was going to change. Now, it didn't manifest like that. Trump came in and rewired the Republican Party on the exact message I was kind of talking about, money and corruption in politics. But Trump just rewired the system for himself to become even more corrupt. In 2009, Democrats had 60 senators. Now we have 47. Republicans gained 13. Okay, that's a change that we can come back from. I truly believe it. In 2009, we had 256 representatives. Now we have 250. 15 representatives. We can come back from that. Same thing with governors. But this is where it gets worrisome. The state legislators in 2009, Democratic side, were 4,082. Now it's 3,250. Republicans gained 832 state legislatures and 13 state trifectas. That is a huge lock on power at a state level. That is where it gets incredibly, incredibly worrisome. That's where people like Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear have held the line. Speaking about what the Democratic Party should be, people like Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear have a great way of just pushing for human dignity, that each human is inherently worthy because we are human, pushing for the idea that we shouldn't be stripping rights away from trans people, from black people who want to vote, shouldn't be stripping rights away from immigrants, from anybody as it pertains to due process or abortion. He's been holding the line in a red state, but he talks about it in such a convincing and intuitive manner that it breaks through to even his Republican voters. I heard him talking about this in person a few weeks ago. Someone in a trucker hat came up to him and said, "Sir, I disagree with the bill that you vetoed. I disagree with you vetoing the bill, but I understand why you did it. Your argument made sense, sir." And it's just like an interesting perspective into these red states. So the Democratic Party needs to do a few things. We need a more sprawling engagement with the media, not just going on my show, but going on shows where we reach people. It's no longer the era of just going on MS Now and going on other like Fox News over and over and thinking that's enough. No shade to them, but there has to be a broader strategy than that. MS Now can be a part of the strategy, but we also need to be going on these podcasts. I believe it was Pete Buttigieg who went on Andrew Schultz's podcast and just wowed the entire room. Ro Khanna did the same thing. Graham Plattner should go on more podcasts. I find him to be a pretty convincing guy at times. What if we just had Democrats out there in the ecosystem fighting back tooth and nail? It's something that I try to embody when I go on CNN. My goal is to never go on CNN and be some boring Democrat who makes people want to turn off the channel. I try to be engaging, and I try to talk about things in a passionate manner that I'm very passionate about. That's why it breaks through. And on a policy level, we just need policies that can rewire the corruption in our system. Of course, we're working on that at Mochler Media. We'll release something soon at adammochler.com, so go subscribe there. But as I said, like banning gerrymandering, limiting money in politics, trying to rewire some of the incentives that allow politicians to follow the money rather than their constituents, that would be huge. I love you all. I'll see you all in the next video. Peace out.